And once they do, if they do, we'll be officially into the offseason for the NHL. There's a lot to look forward to this summer, but obviously the NHL not the only league that will supply content. You got the NBA draft tonight, then free agency right around the corner with the NBA on July 1 opening up, and there could be some big names available on that front. Baseball's midseason continues to roll. The NFL camps will be open up in like a month. So we figured we'd do a little draft ourselves in the nature of the NBA draft tonight. And the storylines and the stories, we are going to be tracking the closest. Now, in reality, we're probably going to be tracking all of these, but you can only pick one, and once it's been picked, it's off the board.
Right.
So we flip coins. Oh, you got the first pick. Noodles, you got the second. Then I got the third, and we'll snake through. So we got a bunch of rounds here, bunch of potential options. Oh, why don't you start us off in terms of what you have your eye on between, let's say, today and Labor Day?
With the first selection in the what I'm going to be tracking in the summer draft, I select the LIV Tour and their pursuit of cats like Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas, because those are the two guys with a couple of others who aren't quite as loud, but there are some, maybe throw in a John Rahm, something like that, who have said and backed the PGA Tour, but everyone has a number, and I think the LIV Tour has got these guys circled saying, we got to keep pushing with their agents and keep jacking the number up, because from all accounts, everybody that knows anything about golf or anything about what goes on over there, it's infinity money. There's just, it never ends, and it's never going anywhere, and it's never going to end or dry up. So I'm fascinated to see if those guys, like a Rahm or a JT or a Rory McIlroy, are ever going to flip the switch on the PGA Tour and say, you know what, they got to my number and I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think that is going to be a big, big story. Because like Colin Morikawa, there was a lot of smoke around Morikawa. And he came out and he doused it and he said, not going to happen. Okay, Brooks said the same thing. Bryson said the same thing.
DJ said the same thing.
Everyone said the same thing. So I don't know what to believe anymore. This story is not dying down anytime soon. All right, good pick. First overall, PGA versus LIV. Noodles, you're on the clock now with the second pick.
And I'm sticking, all of my picks are, I believe, in the hockey world, so I'm going to go the number one. My number one is Leafs goaltending. Are you going to re-sign Jack Campbell? Are you going to move past Jack Campbell and find somebody else as a free agent or trade for somebody? Oh, and you've got Peter Mrazek this year and next year still under contract. What's going on with that? You know, to me, they've got some big decisions here.
You could tack on their whole summer, like their whole operation.
The whole operation. But the goaltending, because it doesn't matter how good your team is, if you don't have goaltending, it's not going to work. So you've got to find it, sort it out. You've got to find a new goalie coach to go along with that and make the right decisions, because I think it's quite simple. Everyone's on the clock there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you would think, you know, again, it's been 6 years of just, hey, whatever, and moving on. Based on the way they reacted, you'd think that they have lifetime contracts down there. But I will say what I found somewhat interesting, and I have fallen victim to this as well, is this idea that Mrazek, they'll just flip him and he'll disappear and that'll be
Well, who's
fine.
Taking Peter Mrazek at 3.8 for this year and next year?
I don't know. And like, I don't think they'll be that stubborn, but what if there's belief there? Like Dubas, it's been less than a year. He gave him 3 years at 3.8 a year ago. Now, Dubas, I think, has done a very good job of realizing his mistakes and rectifying them. And I think he'll look at Mrazek as a mistake, but what if he looks at him as it was just a write-off injury season? What do you want to? What can you do? Won't happen again. And when he's healthy, we still believe in him at 3.8. Like, is that a possibility? Is it 0% chance Mrazek is back next year?
No.
Because I don't think it can be 0%.
There might not be a market for him. And
but what if they still believe?
How could there be? Could there be any market for that guy?
Well, he hasn't played much hockey in the last two calendar years. He was injured in Carolina, too.
Exactly. Yeah. How can there be a market? There isn't one.
Well, this is why I know both of your heads were going to explode when Matt Murray's name came up. But that's where you're looking. Like, if you're going to move a guy like Mrazek out, maybe it's for Matt Murray and chewing on some money and a deal there where you're familiar with Matt Murray and Mrazek goes the other way. I don't know. Again, I'm just speculating, being ridiculous. That's how creative you're going to have to be if you decide to move out Mrazek. The new goalie coach might go, you know what? I can make him a goalie. Leave it with me. I'm good.
Is he a surgeon, too, and a physician?
I don't know.
By the way, I'm glad you brought up Matt Murray Noodles, because that's why I love that. It triggered something. That's why I love that Kadri play last night, because he said to himself, I'm playing, and I don't care, and I'll shave down my cast, and I'll get a special glove, and I'll chirp TSN's Twitter account saying, you'll see about that. In his mind, he said, I'm going to do anything that play. Not like these other guys that we've seen the last two or three years. Something happens, and you skate off. Boop. Check, please. I can't play. I can't do it. I can't play. I can't play for 2 weeks. I can't play for a month. I can't play and help my team in the playoffs. This guy said, under any circumstance, I'm playing hockey, and I'm going to try to score a goal in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he did it. So good on you, Naz. Yep. Way to show every one of these other losers that they're just wimps. Well, I can't take it. Hayes, what's your pick in the first round?
Very wound up today. Somebody needs a payday.
Someone needs a payday.
You need a payday.
Right. Someone needs a payday. I'm going to hook you up. Paydays are coming.
Oh, you guys know the deal. I run out of gas at 5:07. Go ahead, Hayes.
Okay, we got 34 minutes of heat. Yeah. Well, this is an interesting transition. I'm going with Tiger at St. Andrews.
Ooh. All right.
Tiger Woods, who grinds.
In a cart? In a cart?
I don't know. Do they have carts at St. Andrews? I don't think a cart's ever
Colin
been on
Montgomery
that
said they shouldn't have buggies over here, period.
Right.
Because in Europe, we don't have buggies. And then he grin screwed the interviewer. Go ahead.
I don't think there's ever been a cart on St. Andrews.
Grin screwed.
But he's coming back. It's his favorite course. He's won there twice. There's like a 1% Jerry's percentage chance that this is the end of the road. 1% that he shows up and he does the wave at, you know, over the bridge. And it's Tiger. He missed the U.S. Open. St. Andrews, like, it's everything about it is going to be hopefully magical. I hope he makes a cut. I think he will at that course. You give him an extra 2 months because he didn't play the Open to get ready for it. Maybe he's rehabbed more. Maybe his game has improved. So I'll go with Tiger at St. Andrews, into round two of the stories we're tracking going into the summer. Again, you can only pick each story once. Only one of us can take these stories. We're all tracking all of these. This is one I thought Noodles might scoop up with the first pick, or his first pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Carey Price story in Montreal.
Sure.
Because this is a story that feels like it's been building for years. And I don't know if he's going to play. And that's an element to it. Right, like I assume we'll find out at some point this summer if he's retiring, if he's taking time off, where he's at physically, mentally, if he's prepared to play, if he wants to be in Montreal, if he doesn't, what is the market? Like you could write 6, 7, 8 chapters on this story, and all of them could be original, right, in terms of what he represents to that team, what he represents to the league, how great he is, the importance of the position, and yet there's a massive uncertainty in terms of what he is now as a player. So Price, Carey Price in Montreal is high on my list of things I'll be tracking.
Well, and it's also, you tie in, you know, where Montreal wants to head. You know, that's the thing. Like, if they're going to have a retool, it sounds like Petrie's available. You know, if Price is available, like they're going to try and clear out some of the veteran guys or the older guys in bigger contracts.
Mm-hmm.
If Price can play, I think there is a marketplace for him, depending on how much you're willing to eat. So it is a fascinating storyline, but I didn't want to be the goaltender hugger
completely, it's all good.
So I didn't go there.
Noodles, you got the second pick in the second round.
Well, just for me, Calgary Flames. So Johnny Gaudreau status.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is he? Is he going to sign with the Flames? Is he going to test for agency? And then the minute that comes down, you're looking at Matthew Tkachuk because he's an RFA. So is he going to sign a massive extension? What are you going to do? So I don't want to say they're completely tied together, but it's you've got a scenario there in Calgary that things could change very quickly.
Big time. When you consider how well those two played, how good that line was, and Gaudreau could just walk and Tkachuk could take a one-year deal and walk next year.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be dicey out in Calgary for sure.
Sure.
Who do you have, or what are you taking with your second pick of the what we're tracking draft into the summer?
I'm taking the guy that scored the big goal last night, the overtime winner, Nazem Kadri, in his contract situation. I think everybody will sniff around to see what's the deal is here. It seems to me he looks like a guy that could be a second line center on a team that could win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Pretty handy little ordeal there. Just what does he want to do? Does he want to go for the big bucks? I don't know what his situation is. He's made pretty good cash throughout his career. He's been on a 4-year deal for quite some time, a 6-year, I think it was 6-year.
6 years. Yeah, six with the Leafs.
Okay, so he's got a bit of cash in the bank. Does he want to hit a home run, or does he want to try to go to a quality team that's going to be contending for the last 4 or 5 years of his career? It's just going to be a fascinating scenario. He's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. Had a hell of a night last night. There was some recency bias in my thought process just because he scored last night, and he's kind of on your brain. But where he goes and what kind of money he's going to get and the demand for that guy. We saw, after we left the library in New York City, we saw Vinny LeCavalier setting up shop at a hotel. I can't imagine what the setup will be for this cat.
I worry that, like, what is that number going to be? Like, I think
it's going to be higher than you think.
But that's a mistake.
It's going to be higher than you think.
I think he's had an amazing season.
Unbelievable.
But, like, he might be more of a 50 to 60 point guy. That's the thing. So what does that get you in free agency?
On the back end of his career, he might be, Jamie. But on the open market, I think someone's going to give between $7 and $8.5 million.
And recency bias, the guy's scored a Stanley Cup winning goal or in the Stanley Cup finals. But like that.
It's not just that, though. He's had a couple of really good years in Colorado.
Well, and he represents something that you can't always find. You got a guy who can't wait to compete. Like he'll fight you in the street. Like that, something. I'll take that over. Well, this stat when he's on the road. Like, okay.
Oh, I
thank
get
you.
That. No,
I'll,
I get
I'll
that.
Take
I'm
the
just
intangible
saying,
and I'll pay for it every
so
day of the week.
I'm just saying he's 30. He'll play as a 32-year-old.
I understand
year.
That. I understand
and
it.
I just think if he gets $8 million a year on a 5-year deal, there could be 3 years that don't look really good there.
Oh yeah. I'm not denying that.
Let's go through the league and find a bunch of guys with 3 years left that isn't. There's a bunch of them.
It happens all the time. GMs never learn.
I agree.
Right? GMs never learn.
Listen,
you know
I
what
want
the
guy
thought
to cash
process
in.
Is? I'm not going to be around for those anyway, so I don't care.
Right.
Yeah.
We're almost there. 2 or 3 years out of him, and then the rest will be history.
Yeah.
All right, into the third round here. The stories we're tracking throughout the summer. Back to the top of the board. Oh, you have the first pick of the third round.
I'm going to go with the Browns quarterback situation. I cannot see how this Deshaun Watson scenario doesn't end badly for him this year. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a suspension, and you would have to guess a lengthy one from, I don't know. It's so bizarre, and you don't really know what's real, but I think you've heard enough where it's like the league's going to step in and say, you've lost your privilege to play football this year, and it's not for week one. It's for 10 weeks. It's for 11. So the question is, you floated all that money to him, and you sold your soul, but what the hell is going to happen at quarterback? What, are you going to make friends with Baker Mayfield, and all of a sudden that's going to work out? I don't see that. So ultimately, where does that turn out? I know the Cleveland Browns in our market is not the sexiest scenario, but watching that quarterback situation, because everything was all grand. They were like, okay, we got our guy. We're going to put that other stuff in the past and forget it ever happened, and we're going to be rocking and rolling here come September, and it's just not the case.
I'm with you on that. I saw today, I think they're paying Watson and Baker something like $65 million for this season, and I think there's a very good chance neither guy plays a snap for the Browns. So, you know, who's your third stringer?
If Watson's suspended, is that without pay?
Well, yes, but remember, he structured
the
deal. He got
all the money up front.
It's all signing bonus. So it's based on your contract game to game, and he gets paid like $1 million base salary. So, yeah, he's going to lose like $1 million. And that's what was greasy. The Browns knew it was coming, and they still wilted, and they gave it to him. That's why he agreed to go there. Remember, they were off the board. He's like, I'm not going to Cleveland. Are you nuts? And then all of a sudden they said, this is what we'll give you. Love Cleveland. Love the Midwest. Yeah. I'm coming up.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's worthy of tracking for sure, the Browns quarterback situation. Noodles, second pick of the third round. What are you tracking this summer?
Chris Letang, Geno Malkin, they're either potential landing spots or what Pittsburgh's going to do in general there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a spicy meatball. It could be a turnover because both those guys are just free agents. And by all accounts, it didn't sound like their initial talks went so well with Hextall and potential extensions.
So, two legends down there,
and here's the other thing. 87 might get involved and go, what's going on here, too? So there's a lot of moving parts there in Pittsburgh, and be tracking that, because if you don't get Malkin and or Letang, you're going to have to replace those players. So they'll be big game hunting as well.
That's 15 years you've just had that locked in.
Yep.
You know, Malkin as your number two center, what a luxury. And Letang is your stud defenseman.
Yeah.
And they've, same thing with Sid. The three of them have played together their whole careers. And there's a chance, you know, two-thirds of the band is going to leave. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'll take the Jays at the deadline. I mean, this isn't going to go through the whole summer because of the nature of the baseball deadline. Now, I probably would have taken it a little bit higher if we still had those old goofy rules where you could go on waivers and trade for guys into August. But you look at what's going on with the rotation, with Ryu done for the year. You know, Kikuchi is it's uncertain what this guy's going to bring to the table. Ross Stripling continues to perform, but I'm not sure how much faith they have in that for another, like, 15-plus starts. And, you know, I think they're going to address that. I think the bullpen is going to have to be addressed, and the left-handed bat, they're going to continue to look towards that. The Yankees are what they are. They will continue to be what they're going to be. But I think the Jays realize, if you get to the dance, then you can do damage. Mm-hmm. But you got to get there first, right? Like, you're in a hunt now with Boston, with Tampa, with a few different teams in the Central. I feel good about their chances. I've been saying that, you know, all season. But it is not a lock. So the moves between now and the deadline may not be as much about putting a team together for October. It may be about getting to October, which may make it even dicier. Right, and more important that you go all in to make sure you get to the dance. So I fully expect the Jays to be very, very active between now and the end of July. All right, we'll come back with a couple of more quick rounds, a couple of honorable mentions, too. There's going to be a million storylines, clearly, throughout the summer.
Yeah.
So we'll continue with this. All right, so we're continuing with the draft here, and I think it's working out pretty well, the summer stories draft that we're going to be tracking. And we've been through a bunch of them already. We're into the fourth round. And we're thinking we'd do this because we got the NBA draft tonight. Only two rounds. Pretty lazy. Only two rounds. We do, you know, five rounds on this show. And we're into the fourth round. And speaking of the NBA, I'm on the clock with the first pick of the fourth round. I'm going with this Kyrie Irving Brooklyn Nets story because this is breaking, like, as we're speaking.
Yeah.
All right, so Shams Charania just tweeted this out about 40 minutes ago. Sources. Kevin Durant is monitoring the Brooklyn Nets situation and considering his options with his future.
Oh, my God. I told you.
Oh my
Here we go. Right? Here we go. This now opens the path for Kyrie to proceed in finding a new home via opt-in and trade. And now more reports are coming out courtesy of Woj and ESPN, because these two are just going to go back and forth with haymakers on breaking stories. If he's traded, Kyrie would like the Nets to consider working with. This is rich. Like, because they should be doing him a favor. The Lakers, the Clippers, the Knicks, the Heat, the Mavericks, and the Sixers. So that's where Kyrie apparently wants to go. But this story, if he opts out and leaves, then it opens the door for Kevin Durant demanding a trade. It's going to be bedlam. It could be bedlam. Like, there's a chance.
I'm not going to lie. I want Kevin Durant somehow to go back to G-State and say, let's run it back and get a couple more and call it a day.
Well,
I want to see it.
If he does
that, take him back?
I don't know if they feel they need him. Honestly, they may.
Dude, who the hell doesn't need Kevin Durant for everything? Who doesn't want that? Sorry.
Can't argue with that.
Greatest scorer to ever play.
All right, so I'm going Kyrie in the Nets. And again, I think things are going to be happening hourly on that front. Noodles, you have the second pick of the fourth round here.
I just think one of the organizations to watch kind of under the radar has been the Winnipeg Jets. You know, and that's now at the end of the season, you've had the coaching change. Who's going to be the coach there? Then now you heard the rumblings. Well, what are you doing with Shifley? You know, Dubois a year and a half away from free agency or whatever. There's lots of, you know, lots of, or 2 years, I think, away. So
did I see a report last night that Dubois has already told the team he's going to free agency in 2 years? Just,
oh, my God. That is the dumbest thing I've ever. If that is true. And I believe it to be true because some credible people tweeted it out. What a moron. You couldn't have just done, like, you couldn't have played there for 2 years and done the John Tavares and said, I don't know, it's a business. Now the people of Winnipeg hate his guts, and it's just like, what are you doing?
Why would
just say you want to get traded right now. Yeah, what a dumb move. That is such a bogey by that guy.
I think that's stupid. I think it might be posturing for that. Winnipeg goes, here's a blank check. Let's make sure you're taking, like, you can extend him, right? He's RFA. So I don't know. It might be just contract posturing. I'd like to know a little bit more. I don't want to.
Possibly, yeah.
But moronic decision. The fans hate his guts immediately, I bet.
Unless he signs a massive year extension and becomes their number one centerman and they figure out to move Scheifele out. Like, I think that's what's going to be fascinating to track.
Right.
That team's really good on paper. They got to get it together and play well so that they make the playoffs and go on a run. They were in the second round a year ago.
You know what, though? Now that I think about it, I lost my cool there for a second. Teams do garbage things to players, so you know what? Go ahead and do it. You're going to have a tough time, though, because they're going to hate your guts.
But that's the difference, right? Listen, the negotiating is one thing, but from a PR standpoint, once it gets out, especially a place like Winnipeg, they're incredibly insecure with that stuff. Every Canadian market is. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
every Canadian market is insecure about players
wanting to
leave.
Couldn't you do that behind the scenes and just say, look, I'm going to be going to free agency.
Right.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if Seth Jones, did that get out? It might have. And he just said, "I'm like, trade me because I'm not signing here." But this was just like, "Oh, you're Gretzky? You left Columbus? You had to get out of there? Now you're in Winnipeg, and now all of a sudden you got a test? Like, who the hell do you think you are?"
Yeah, 2 years out from UFA status.
I think it's posturing. I think
we
got
to do rapid fire down the stretch.
That would make sense. All right, or you get the last pick of the fourth round.
This might be off the board for some people, this topic, but for me, it should have been my number one thing. It's Hazy B on the golf course. Can he get it back and get dialed in? Because he went from one under through nine to can't break 90, and it's a serious problem. And your best buddy, Darcy Tucker, said you're in your own head and it's a serious problem. My friend, are a modern-day broadcasting version of David Duval. You were the number one player in the world, and now you can't find a fairway.
It's really a bad place.
Did
you have a game today?
No, I didn't. I'm not playing for a while. I need to escape.
Oh, you're taking a break.
I'm taking a break.
Wow, that's even worse. We got to get into this.
I'm taking a break.
Wow.
Not the best.